Welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN and Arthur Pressman. Traffic attorney time is 9 minutes after three. I'm going to switch things up a little bit here. I'm going to call an audible at the line because I've been doing this for a little bit, you know, and kind of trust my own judgment more than others. But Ozzy Osbourne is dead. Rock and roll legend Ozzy Osbourne has died. He was 76 years old a few years back. He came out and basically his family announced that he had Parkinson's disease. We don't know the cause of death. Ozzy Osbourne was 76 years of age, and Ozzy Osbourne is one of those very rare people who happen to be a metal rocker, a heavy metal rocker. I'd call him a heavy metal rocker, right? Wouldn't you? Heavy metal rocker, music legend, Ozzy Osbourne. And certainly you've heard Crazy Train. We played a little bit of it for you during the newscast with Tom Puckett on News Radio 930 WBEN. I personally think that should be the new news thematic music when we head into the newscast, but I think I'm going to be overruled on that. But Ozzy Osbourne, I don't know if you were a big fan of Ozzy Osbourne's. I don't know how closely you followed Ozzy Osbourne and Black Sabbath. I don't know for how many of you heavy metal is your jam, but I know that Ozzy Osbourne is a really big deal. I mean, look, Ozzy Osbourne and Black Sabbath aren't necessarily my jam, not what I would listen to ordinarily, but I'm all down with a little bit of Crazy Train every now and again and a little bit of Black Sabbath, and it's, you know, it's all good. It's music, and as long as it's well done and well played, I'm all for it. But finding out about, 20 minutes after 2 today that Ozzy Osbourne was no longer with us, it was kind of a gut punch. And, you know, we talked about this last week or the week before, that we are at a really weird point in the history of pop culture in America and in the world. Why are we at a weird point? We're at a weird point because many of the people with whom we grew up are now octogenarians or septuagenarians, maybe even older than that. And we're going to have a period. I mean, today, it's Ozzy Osbourne. Tomorrow, it could be Bob Dylan. It could be Paul McCartney. It could be Ringo Starr, Neil Young. Fill in the blank, because many of the musical superstars with whom we came of age, or, well, they came of age before we did, and then we came of age and thought they were super cool, they're entering the twilight of their lives, maybe even the midnight of their lives. And it's going to be, over the next few years, it's going to be kind of sad, probably more often than you might think, because you probably have CDs or vinyl or downloads or whatever in your musical repertoire that happen to be your jam. And it really sucks when you lose somebody to whom you have listened your entire life. For example, Bob Dylan, look, I've got a love-hate thing with Bob Dylan because, did you see the movie, by the way? Yeah, okay, A Complete Unknown? Yeah, okay. It was really a good movie. Not totally accurate, but it was really good. But Bob Dylan, I grew up with Bob Dylan, and I was the only Bob Dylan fan, I think, in my entire high school because he was really, really big before I was really, really in high school. And I've seen him in concert a few times. The last time I saw him at Shays, it really sucked, and I said at the time, and I will stick by this, that if he was playing like that, I don't think I'd walk to my basement to see Bob Dylan at this point, because it just wasn't entertaining. It wasn't good. And there's something about a guy hiding behind a piano at Shays for a couple of hours that was a bit of a turnoff, not even recognizing the audience that was, oh my goodness. First time I saw Bob Dylan was at the Odd back in 1979 or so. And it was the Street Legal Tour, if that helps. And he made it a point to say, hey, Buffalo, I've been here before. And then he launched into Tangled Up in Blue or something. But we are getting into that period. I mean, today it's Ozzy Osbourne. And tomorrow, and I hope it's not literally tomorrow, but who knows who it is going to be as the legends get older and older and older. Frankly, Ozzy making it to 76, I think, is quite an accomplishment given the lifestyle. He got 76 years, a heck of a lot more than John Lennon got, a heck of a lot more than James Gandolfini got. He lived a very full life, and he was very entertaining. And he was one of those entertainers, as I started saying previously, who actually had a wider appeal than heavy metal. And one of the surprises of my life was finding out from my mother that she enjoyed watching the Osbournes, and she really liked Ozzy Osbourne, although she couldn't really understand what he was saying most of the time, so used the closed captioning. And I must confess, I found myself in that same boat as well. But if you maybe saw Ozzy Osbourne in concert, if you're a big Black Sabbath fan and you want to call in and tell us, you know, you want to put a verbal wreath on Ozzy Osbourne, I'm going to let you do that. Just because it's not my favorite jam doesn't mean I don't appreciate Ozzy Osbourne and the music legend and icon that he was. The phone number is 803-0930. 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Any Ozzy Osbourne fans out there want to pay tribute to your man, your guy? There's a guy I went to high school with who actually became a police officer down south. I'll give you his initials, J.D. He was a huge Black Sabbath fan. Oh, my goodness. There was not a bigger Black Sabbath fan at Ben Franklin Middle High School in the 1970s than this guy. And he was all about Ozzy and Black Sabbath. And I wonder how he is taking the news today. Don't know if he's listening on our app or not. Maybe he is. One never knows. But he's a good guy, too. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And just if you're just joining us, Ozzy Osbourne has died, 76 years old. Just after his final show. Well, not just after, but very shortly after his final show. And, you know, it is interesting the number of people who end up dying right after they give up something at which they have toiled for so long. Like Mr. Rogers, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. One day he retires, the next day he's dead. Charles Schulz, who drew Peanuts. One day he retires, the next day he's dead. That's a little freaky. Not going to lie, that's a little freaky. But anyway, the celebrity deaths are something that also I find intriguing because, as I said, there's going to be a whole bunch of cultural milestones that are going to send a lot of people into, I don't want to say midlife depressions, but maybe end-of-life depressions, when these people who always seemed so vibrant and young, who were part of the dynamic energy of years gone by, like the McCartneys, the Dillons, the Ringos, and Pete Townsend, and Roger Daltrey, and Robert Plant, and Jimmy Page, and do I have to go on? And someday they're not going to be with us anymore, and it's going to be sad, knowing that you're never going to hear Jimmy Page basically hint that he'd really like a Led Zeppelin reunion in an interview ever again, even though that's never going to happen, according to Robert Plant. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. And I love to listen to Bob Dylan and Bob Dylan and the band, the Basement Tapes, anytime I'm doing a very long drive. I'm just sorry, but Bob Dylan's Greatest Hits, Volume 2, great stuff on there, man. Great stuff. When I paint my masterpiece. But someday he's not going to be around anymore, and I'll probably rue saying I wouldn't walk down to the basement to see him play. Here's Pam in Buffalo. Have you come to praise Ozzy Osbourne?
Well, I'll tell you, I didn't listen to the music, but I loved him and his son getting in that Winnebago and traveling.
Absolutely, you know, absolutely.
And the last time his daughter was with them, and they went to some school, and these kids played one of his songs, which gave me chills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and he loved it too. He was like praising the kids, you know. So I mean, it was really enjoyable that way. Yes, I couldn't understand when he responded to his, you know, one of the children or something. But I mean, it was neat that they got to do that with their dad.
I agree with you 100%. And I think I have a theory that really worked because you really saw this this duality. That's everybody's favorite word these days when they want to sound like an intellectual. The duality of Ozzy Osbourne being the Prince of Darkness, Mr. Black Sabbath, but also being a really awesome family guy. Not that family guy, the other one.
Yeah, I knew what you meant. Yeah, but I mean, it was awesome to see him and how they got along with each other. It was really, you know, I enjoyed watching it. I look forward to watching it when I caught it on TV. So, but that's what I wanted to say.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you did, because Ozzy Osbourne won my mother's heart when my mother was in her 80s, and she had the same sense that that I did, that, well, here's this guy I've heard so much about, and Black Sabbath, I've heard so much about this band. She probably never bought a Black Sabbath CD, but she loved watching the show. She loved watching the relationship he had with his very awesome kids, I might add.
Right. And I agree totally. Even the one he had his grandchild with, and they went to some cave or something they were in. I knew they had to go underground, and there was, you know, but I mean, it was really neat just the places that they went. And I enjoyed watching him get along with his kids too.
So, have you ever counted the number of words they had to bleep out from Ozzy? Just out of curiosity.
I didn't understand the words he said.
That's a fair point. Mom used closed captioning, and somewhat helpful to me as well. Thank you, Pam. I appreciate the call. Ozzy Osbourne, if you're tuning into WBEN and saying, how come they're talking about Ozzy Osbourne? Ozzy Osbourne, music legend, member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, even though Three Dog Night is not, for some strange reason. But Ozzy Osbourne has died, 76 years of age. Don't know the cause of death. He had been dealing with Parkinson's, which is one bitch of a disease, and I extend deepest sympathy and best wishes to anybody who is still listening, who is going through Parkinson's, either yourself or your family. It absolutely sucks. It's one of the most sucky diseases in the entire world, frankly. But anyway, Ozzy Osbourne is dead. If you want to call in and give your eulogy, maybe you met Ozzy Osbourne at some point. Maybe you saw Ozzy Osbourne live and in the flesh. Maybe you didn't really get into his music, but you loved the TV show. And that, I think, would characterize my mom. She loved the TV show. And the idea that here's this guy who sounds as though his brain was fried in about 1973, and he is being this awesome family guy. Not that one again. But he's been this awesome family guy and surrounded by people who absolutely love him and adore him, and he goes off on his little adventures with his kids. I'm sorry, that is really endearing. It really worked. You would never think, when that show is being proposed, I would imagine that it might have been a hard sell. But when you actually see how it played out on TV, I'm telling you, there was a magic about that show that made it work. There was something, it's almost like, it should not have worked, but it worked better than anybody ever could have anticipated in some respects because of that whole duality thing. You never would have expected Ozzy Osbourne to be a candidate for Father of the Year. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. So it was, now everybody's going to say, well, who's the third one going to be? Because Connie Francis, she died a few days ago. Ozzy Osbourne died today. His death was announced at about 20 minutes after 2, and we had it here on News Radio 930 WBEN. And look, I must confess that heavy metal is just not my jam. I'm more of a classic rock guy, more of a yacht rock guy. In other words, homosexual is what I'm trying to say. But no, I'm more of a, no disrespect, hope you guys are laughing, thank you. But anyway, by you guys, I meant the gay listeners. Thank you. But anyway, that's my jam. So, and movies. I love watching movies. So when Michael Madsen died earlier this month, that, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I never met Michael Madsen in my life, but I certainly saw him in Donnie Brasco, and I certainly saw him in Reservoir Dogs, and he etched his place into Hollywood history in Quentin Tarantino's Reservoir Dogs as Mr. Blonde. And the scene of Michael Madsen and the police officer and stuck in the middle with you, Jerry Rafferty and Steeler's Wheel, is one of the sickest yet most iconic scenes in music in movie history. I would put it right up there with Jimmy Cagney shoving the grapefruit into the woman's face in The Public Enemy. It had that kind of impact. Once you saw it, you could never unsee it. So when I learned of Michael Madsen's death, I was, I don't want to say I was devastated, but, it took a little bit out of me, because when you watch a movie or a bunch of movies that somebody is appearing in over the years, And then you realize, they're no longer here. And frankly, I had also watched some interviews with Michael Madsen and some of his, some of his low budget interviews that he did with people about Reservoir Dogs and his interaction with Lawrence Tierney, who was the old guy in Reservoir Dogs. It kind of gave a many layers to the onion. It kind of peeled some of the skin back to a different layer. And I like that. I like people who are multi-layered, or another way to look at that is an iceberg. And only a small portion of the iceberg is above water. The rest is below water, but it's there if you want to explore it. Here's Missy in Clarence. Ozzy Osbourne is dead, and he was 76 years old. Missy on WBEN. Hello.
Hi, Tom. Well, I've called in before. My daughter was very good friends with Kelly Osbourne. She and Kelly started a t-shirt company, I don't know how many years ago. And, this was out in LA when my daughter lived there. Kelly wanted to move on, and Sharon and Ozzy gave the company to my daughter, just gave it to her. And the company is still going strong in Los Angeles and New York as a clothing manufacturer to the entertainment industry.
Well, Missy, it's not that I'm not enjoying our conversation, but is there any chance that you could have your daughter call into the show? Could I interview her?
Oh, wow.
Come on. Pull some strings, okay? I mean, Donald Trump has been on this program twice. Come on. This should not be the end of the world here.
All right. Well, the number is the number that I called in on?
Yeah, at this point, it should be. Yes. That would be pretty awesome because I would love to know the inside story.
I will absolutely
story. Try. Kelly Osbourne
is 40. My daughter's a little upset right now, so you have to, understand that because of this. And my daughter was on a few episodes of The Osbournes.
No way. Okay, hold on a minute, my dear. Hold on, Missy, because this is an up-close and personal relationship with Ozzy Osbourne. This isn't seeing him in concert. This isn't a meeting, a one-off meeting. This is a long-term relationship that Missy's daughter had with Ozzy Osbourne's daughter, Kelly, and accordingly, with Ozzy Osbourne and the rest of the Osbourne family. In fact, Tanner, I think we need to take Missy's phone number off air and provide that to our newsroom, because I think Missy or her daughter, if she can compose herself, and obviously it's a tough blow when you lose a friend's father and a friend, if she wants to come on tomorrow morning, that's kind of early LA time. Maybe with David, maybe with Joe, or maybe with me. I'm good. 803-0930, Ozzy Osbourne dead at 76. Anybody with the Ozzy Osbourne stories like this? So Missy's daughter had a t-shirt company with Kelly Osbourne, Ozzy's daughter, and Ozzy eventually gave the entire company over to Missy's daughter. The company operates in LA and New York City. That is super cool. Small world, but you wouldn't want to paint it. Remembering Ozzy Osbourne, which may have been more than Ozzy could have done at times, but that's okay. Ozzy Osbourne is no longer with us. He is, he was 76 years old. He died. It was announced at about 20 minutes after 2 today, and you're hearing News Radio 930 WBEN. Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney time is coming up on 3:37. Anybody listening to the show have any close encounters with Ozzy? How will you remember Ozzy? Was Ozzy and Black Sabbath a big part of your musical life? And look, we all have our jams. Mine is classic rock, yacht rock, that kind of stuff. I also hang out in men's rooms at parks. But 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And let's get back to Missy in Clarence, and I want to hear the full story without my, oh my God, I'm running out of time this segment, interruptions. Missy's daughter had a t-shirt company with Ozzy Osbourne's daughter. And I would like you to explain the entire relationship, Missy, and how everything germinated and took root and flourished.
Well, I'm not really sure about how it took root and flourished, but I do know that my daughter, Allison, met Kelly, and they got to talking, and they decided, and this was, oh my goodness, a bunch of years ago. Okay, when you could have a t-shirt company, without going online and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, so they, yeah, they entered into this T-shirt company, and it was, can I say the name?
In this case, I think you may.
Okay, well, okay. It was called Lipstick Profits. And
is that profit as in the amount of money you would make, or as in I see things in the future? What kind of profit?
I see things in the future.
Roger. Lipstick Profit, okay?
Right. And they did that for a couple years, maybe 3-4 years at least. And then Kelly decided she wanted to move on to other things. And Sharon and Ozzy gave the company to my daughter. I was like blown away. I was absolutely blown away. And since then, my daughter has kept the company, and she's parlayed it into making clothing for the entertainment industry. But she has always been very close with Sharon and Ozzy throughout all these years. And I did try and get a hold of her, and she's rather upset right now. I guess the Osbournes are in London right now, so that's a good thing that they're home. And that's about all I know.
Well, did you have a chance, I don't mean to impinge on the sanctity of private communication, but did you have a chance to get any specifics from your daughter about Ozzy and his death today?
No, not yet. No, uh-uh. No, I did not. My daughter just said that she was, that she was upset, and I can get it because they were close. They were very close.
Mm.
And, now, you know, especially being on a few episodes of the Osbournes.
That is, was she credited in the credits at the end?
You know, I don't know that, but my late husband and I got a chance to meet Kelly. My husband had a weird cancer, and we were out in L.A. Getting it treated by UCLA. And Kelly came over and gave my husband a plaque. And it says, if you're going through hell, keep going. And that's a quote by Winston Churchill. And I have it, and I cherish it. I really do. I just thought that was so nice of her to do that.
That's wonderful. Now, I'm looking online, Missy, and I see Lipstick Profits, a clothing store in Los Angeles, California. But then it says permanently closed.
Right. My daughter, right. That's very true. She, it's called Polly's Clothing now. If you could look that up, I don't know.
Polly's. I don't know how to spell that. You're going to have to spell that for me.
Polly's.
Oh, Polly's. Polly's. Okay, I thought you said Charlie's. I'm like, Charlie's. I'm like, oh,
no,
boy.
No. This is Polly's. Yes. Yes. And that happened a couple years ago. My daughter changed the name. But it's the same. It's basically, its roots were Lipstick Profits.
Yeah, I'll have to. I'm seeing a whole bunch of listings here for Polly and clothing companies, so I'm going to have to take this under advisement for the time being. But
no, I understand.
What a fascinating, fascinating story. So when you watched, I'm sure you watched the episodes of The Osbournes in which your daughter was featured, not featured, but she was a part of those episodes, correct?
Oh, yeah, she was there.
And what did you have a feeling of pride? What goes through your mind when you see your kid hanging out with the Osbournes?
Just kind of, wow, I can't believe it. And not, I wouldn't say, well, pride, I guess, but it was just like, whoa, you know, the Osbournes is Ozzy Osbourne, you know, the guy that bit the head off the bat, that, you know, I was just like nonplussed.
You know what? Are you a mind reader? Are you a mind reader?
Me? No.
Yeah, because I wanted to point out that circa 1983, then mayor of Buffalo, we didn't put this in our newscast, then mayor of Buffalo, Jimmy Griffin, was not real pleased when Ozzy Osbourne bit the head off a bat. I think it was in a previous show. And I think I got to look this up, but as I recall, I'm not going to recall it right now because I want to get it right. I don't want to have it fast. I'd rather have it right. But Ozzy Osbourne and Buffalo were in a collision back in the early 1980s.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Well, you said biting the head off of a bat. I was going to mention that. I'm like, wait a minute. What's going on here, man?
Seriously. And it's really kind of funny because 2 days ago, I was online and somebody put, if you had a chance to be, you know, with music as you're entering a room, what would you put? And I put Crazy Train by Ozzy Osbourne.
Wow. That is...
Talking about channeling something.
That is super awesome. And the reason Connie Francis came up was we were doing the show. We're doing the show on the horrible situation with the Buffalo Diocese. And I made the comment that, you know, where do people who are into little boys go? Well, they go where the boys are, which happened to have been one of Connie Francis's big hits. And she was a guest with me back in 1983 for an hour or so. And We did mention Connie Francis, and shortly thereafter, she had died. But that's super cool. The connection your family has with the Osborne family through your daughter, and please express to your daughter that she's got everybody listening in Western New York on her side, wishing her the very best as she processes the news that Ozzy Osbourne is no more.
If you want her to maybe call in, I'll try and get a hold of her again.
But, you know, here's the thing. I would love to talk to your daughter about Ozzy Osbourne. At the same time, I'm a human being, and I want her to be able to process her own personal grief, and I'm not trying to put her in a specimen box and make her part of a freak show. So when she's ready to talk about it, if she's ready today, that would be great. But if she's not ready to talk about it, or she feels as though that would be invading her emotional space, I have to respect that 100%.
Oh, Tom, thank you so very much. Thank you for saying that, because I agree with you. I totally agree with you. So I had to call in and tell you my experience.
Let me phrase it in a different way, Missy. And I'm glad you called. This is like call of the decade, man. But let me just put it this way. If talking with me would help your daughter process her grief, I would love her to call in. If talking with her would represent an additional burden and stress, I'd rather not put somebody through that for the sake of radio. It's not worth it.
Oh, thank you so much. I'll extend that to her for sure. Thank you, Tom, so much.
Absolutely, Missy. Thank you very much. What an amazing call. Who would have thought, seriously, who would have thought that one of Ozzy Osbourne's kids had a T-shirt company with the daughter of one of our callers from Clarence, Missy? I hadn't a clue. Missy is not a first-time caller. She's called in maybe a few times over the course of the past however many years it has been. You know, I'm trying to find that darn Jimmy Griffin, Ozzy Osbourne news story from all those years ago. Ozzy did play in 1981 in Buffalo. I thought he had played around 83. But let me just, I'm going to continue to look this up here. If you're just joining us wondering, well, Bowerly, you're talking about Ozzy Osbourne. What have you been smoking? Actually, absolutely nothing. I was going to say something wise, but I'm going to not do that. We're talking about Ozzy Osbourne because the legendary rock star, heavy metal, Black Sabbath, and of course the TV show, he died today at 76 years of age. And it was not that long ago where he retired from the stage, and Ozzy Osbourne dead at the age of 76, member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and one of those iconic people in the world of rock and roll. And something else that I do want to point out, and that is Ozzy Osbourne, like the members of the Beatles and even the Stones and actually many other performers, crossed the age barrier. And one way he crossed the age barrier was with that TV show. Because had it not been for the TV show, my mom would never have heard of Ozzy Osbourne. Oh, she absolutely had heard of Black Sabbath. My mom was super cool. Okay, you have to understand, she might have died at the age of 90, but growing up, we would crank the Rolling Stones in the house, which, believe me, in that household, it was a semi-act of rebellion, all right? I'm just saying. But she loved the Osbournes, and what she loved about it, even though she couldn't really understand his unintelligible speech and had to do the closed captioning stuff, she loved the relationship that Ozzy Osbourne had with the kids on the show. She loved the bonding experiences and making memories and the trips they had taken, which were televised. And I think that, frankly, she was a little bit surprised. And I know that she was absolutely I don't want to say titillated, that's the wrong impression. She was mesmerized, I think, by Ozzy Osbourne's inherent charm. How could you not like Ozzy Osbourne, even if he bites mammals in the neck? I'm just saying. But yeah, I'm pretty sure she's partying with Ozzy right now. I could be wrong. Here is Ken on WBEN in Hamburg. Ken, hello.
Hi, Tom. I just wanted to say I did see Ozzy before 1978. I believe it was 1975. He played the Niagara Falls Convention Center. I went and saw him then. Actually, my wife was there at the same time. I didn't know her at the time, but that's neither here nor there. And I did enjoy watching both his shows, the Osbournes, and when he did his traveling with his kid. He's a very eclectic individual. I got a chance to actually talk to him for about 2 seconds when I was in L.A. Nice guy. All I can say, he's a really
Nice guy. I'm sorry. I was looking something up, and what you said about L.A. kind of coincided with a little headphone glitch. So, what did you say about L.A.? You met him, or you saw him?
No, I saw him in L.A.
Was he playing, or was he walking down Sunset Boulevard?
He was playing.
Oh, how cool.
I believe it was in the Coliseum, in fact.
Sir, when you just said the Niagara Falls Convention Center and concert, yeah. Do you remember the wonderful acoustics of that particular venue?
Oh, yeah. I think I was 16 years old at the time when I saw them. I think my ears were ringing until I was turned 18.
That was possibly one of the worst concert venues ever to grace the annals of music in its history, going back to the ancient Egyptians rattling their earrings, I'm just saying. Could you play that on a different register, please?
And I didn't learn my lesson. I went there about a year or two later to see a motocross exposition there.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, Niagara Falls Convention Center, Crosby, Stills, and Nash played there in the early 1980s. David Crosby walked right by me as I was going into the venue. Then afterwards, that's where I had a chance to meet Stephen Stills, which was pretty awesome. So thank you very much, man. I appreciate the Ozzy memory. And how are you going to remember Ozzy Osbourne, dead today at 76?
Well, probably when I get home tonight, I'll throw on Master Reality and listen to it.
Outstanding. Yes. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate the call. And by the way, thanks to everybody who's calling in here, because I wasn't sure if this was going to go. And I've got like different strands that I'm going to pick out here in the next hour ahead, because when you're a fan of somebody, it does, you know what, it's almost as though you know them, and when they die, it's almost like you've lost a part of you, even though they weren't part of your life, and they never wish you a happy birthday, okay? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Michael Madsen wouldn't have known me if we'd crossed each other in the street, but I sure knew him, and he carved, as I mentioned, that unbelievably memorable bit of Hollywood history in Reservoir Dogs with Stuck in the Middle with You. Ozzy Osbourne has died, 76 years of age, and the call of the day so far, the lady whose daughter had a t-shirt company with Ozzy Osbourne's daughter, one of his daughters. Here's Tony in Orchard Park. Tony, you're on WBEN. Welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm sorry.
I am wonderful, and I'm just thinking to myself, when Christopher Cross sheds his mortal coil, then my emotions will be on full display, but go ahead.
Oh, that will be a day for sure. Yeah, Tom, I just wanted to say I saw Ozzy Osbourne in 1984, Buffalo Memorial Auditorium. I'm not sure if that was his last show here, but that was the Motley Crue opener, I believe.
I could easily look it up, the Black Sabbath and or Ozzy Osbourne appearances in Buffalo, New York, but the situation. Well, let me just share this with folks, because the situation with Jimmy Griffin, and I remember talking about this in a talk show very early in my talk radio career. Ozzy Osbourne was involved in a bizarre rock and roll incident, January of 1982, a concert in Des Moines, Iowa. Somebody threw a bat onto the stage. Ozzy thought it was a rubber toy. He bit the head off of it. He later discovered it was a real bat. And as I had to do, he experienced rabies treatment afterwards. But as I recall, and I'm trying to find more information about this because I don't want to rely on my addled memory, Jimmy Griffin had an issue with Ozzy playing in Buffalo after that concert. But I'm trying to source that other than my mind, which is always a dangerous source. But go ahead, sir.
Yeah, being a young teenager then, I do remember the bat story, and that was probably one of the main reasons we, you know, me and all my friends wanted to go see Ozzy, is just the controversy at the time. And back then, everybody believed that it was part of his show, and, you know, it might have been blown out of proportion. It sounds more accurate, the story that you just read of what really happened. But he did have quite a fanfare back then. We were too young to go by ourselves. We actually had to be chaperoned by our mother. So that was quite fun. She wore the earplugs and chugged along with us throughout the whole show.
Okay, that's pretty awesome. I have to tell you that is pretty awesome. It's kind of funny because when something like this happens, do you find that your mind goes back to periods of your youth you thought you had forgotten, but then suddenly they come alive in great vibrancy?
Absolutely. That's the main reason I'm calling you right now, is that, you know, this brought back a lot of memories from that year. And it was 1984.
Well, you know, the reason I bring that up is that I remember my brother, Billy, who's no longer with us, he wanted to see Alice Cooper at the Odd. Mom and Dad did not let him see Alice Cooper. Bad influence on the young man. My brother didn't really need any bad influences. In fact, he was a bad influence in many respects. But that's another story. I loved him dearly. But anyway, what an interesting. Having seen him live, I mean, obviously that's on your bucket list. Those are three times you saw Ozzy Osbourne perform. So that is no longer on your bucket list and hasn't been in quite some time. You did it, even though you can never do it again, kind of like those of us who saw Glenn Campbell one time and one time only, and a lot of commonality between Ozzy and Glenn Campbell, I'm sure. did Ozzy do a cover of Wichita Lineman? I don't know. Thank you very much, man. Anything else you want to add to this?
No, Tom. Great show.
All right, thank you very much. Ozzy Osbourne, dead at the age of 76. And a lot of you, either because of his music, solo, Black Sabbath, or the TV show, you're feeling a little bit of a sense of loss. And one of our caller's daughters knows the Osbournes, knew one of the kids of the Osbourne family, had a T-shirt company with the daughter, and she's distraught right now. And, hey, look, I'd love to talk to her, but frankly, if that young lady believes, and I guess she'd be about 40 years old, if she thinks it would be helpful for her to come on and talk about Ozzy and her grief, I will happily put her on the air. But if by coming on the air that would simply make her sadness or her grief worse, then it's not worth it. Because like I told our caller, before anything else, I'm a human being. Maybe not the best human being, but I'm still a human being. Yeah, you knew him from Black Sabbath. You knew him from Crazy Train. You knew him from the Osbournes. Ozzy Osbourne, the Prince of Darkness, has died at the age of 76. I never thought this day would come. I thought Ozzy was immortal. I didn't think he was pervious to the vicissitudes, especially the down part of the human body. But unfortunately, Ozzy Osbourne is no more. The story came down about 20 minutes after 2, thereabouts. So Ozzy Osbourne, according to the internet, and the internet is always right, never wrong, the man known as Ozzy Osbourne played in Buffalo on several occasions. Maybe you were at some of these shows. Shea's Buffalo Theater, May 6, 1981. Also, The Odd, January 28, 1984. November 29th, 1988, and The Odd again, November 5th, 1992, and somebody sent me something that says Ozzy played Good Friday of 1982. So would that be included in these? I'm not seeing a reference to Good Friday 1982 in the official biography online of Ozzy Osbourne, but you know what, these things, your memory in some cases, especially going back to the 80s and 90s, may be better, because we didn't have the internet back then, may be better than the internet's or AI's interpretation of how many times did Ozzy Osbourne play in Buffalo. He's been in Buffalo, absolutely, positively, and many of you had a chance to see him. And I wish I could remember all of the particulars about Jimmy Griffin and Ozzy Osbourne and the biting the head off of a bat incident. Do I have Jimmy Griffin confused with somebody else, which That wouldn't be right, frankly. Confusing Jimmy Griffin with any other living or dead human being who's ever graced the halls of power in Buffalo would be an absolute outrage. And if I'm guilty of an outrage, sue me. So anyway, let's talk for a moment, shall we? In fact, more than a moment, because, you know, it really sucks when you are a fan of somebody and they die. And you don't have a chance to maybe adjust to the idea that they're not going to be here much longer. For example, okay, Rock Hudson. When Rock Hudson died, not of AIDS, of course, but when Rock Hudson died, we kind of knew that he wasn't long for this world. Freddie Mercury, the same thing. And I can remember the days before Freddie Mercury died and the revelation that he had AIDS. And I think he was still denying it at one point. And then he said that he eventually died of complications from AIDS. And, you know, didn't see that one coming. But, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. But Freddie Mercury, I mean, just a rare, rare talent. But unfortunately, you know, he had the pleasure, but the unlucky timing to live in an era when being homosexual was still a big strike against you. Now, nobody cares. I mean, nobody cares. And, you know, for Freddie Mercury to be embarrassed about who he was or what he did is pretty stupid, because he was Freddie Mercury and there's never going to be another Freddie Mercury. And you don't appreciate somebody like Freddie Mercury maybe until years after they're no longer with us. But the point is that we kind of knew that it was coming. And another one, George Harrison, the Beatle. We knew George Harrison was going to die soon. It wasn't a nut punch. We knew that it was a matter of time because he had a brain tumor. And when he died, we had a chance to adjust. But some celebrity deaths, and obviously the way a celebrity's death affects you is contingent upon how big a fan you were of the individual who has died, right? Now, in my lifetime, and remember, I was a baby when JFK was shot, and I'm not going to consider an American president a celebrity necessarily. I'm thinking more about music and entertainment people as opposed to politicians or popes or anybody like that. But there have been three celebrity, non-political deaths in my lifetime that really hit people like you and your humble host here as surprises. Number one, come on, you know what it is, Elvis Presley. Oh my goodness. I can remember Elvis Presley, the announcement that Elvis Presley had died as vividly as if it had happened yesterday. I can remember a conversation I had with a young lady on the telephone the night Elvis Presley died about how shocked she was and how incredibly sad it was. And obviously, you had to agree. The death of Elvis, nobody was expecting the death of Elvis. Yeah, he wasn't in the greatest shape, okay. But it really clobbered people who might not have been paying attention to Elvis Presley for many years, unaware of some of his health challenges, etc. But Elvis Presley's death, that was a big shock. The other big shock of my lifetime, and probably yours, was the murder of John Lennon on December 8th of 1980. And that was a little bit different, because that involved the intentional taking of his life by an assassin from MK Ultra. That involved an actual murder, a planned homicide to get rid of John Lennon. It was an act of deliberate evil against John Lennon. And what really stood out about the murder of John Lennon and the death of that celebrity, which basically was a sudden shock, he was only 40 years old, when I was in high school, was playing my 72 Fender Telecaster, thank you, I was playing Beatles songs upstairs, and my father was watching Howard Cosell in Monday Night Football, and when he said, John Lennon's dead, my first thought was, I bet it was a drug overdose, and I really didn't think that much about it. And then I realized the import of what was going on, that there would not be a Beatles reunion. Well, at least not on this planet. There would not be a Beatles reunion. And then I found out somebody shot John Lennon? Who would shoot John Lennon? And it was really sad because John Lennon had just gotten back into the music game as an active participant and not on the sidelines. Here's a guy who is a house husband, basically, to Yoko Ono, for which I think he does deserve some meritorious praise. But anyway, imagine hearing Yoko singing in the shower. That in itself, I think, earns him some serious praise that he put up with it. But anyway, don't worry, Yoko. Sorry, I apologize if I just destroyed your ears. I destroyed mine as well. I'm wearing headphones. But the murder of John Lennon, that was a total and complete shock. And it was made worse by the fact that he had just re-entered the public eye with Double Fantasy, that album. And do you remember the first time you heard, hey, here's a brand new song by John Lennon. It's called Just Like Starting Over. And first time I heard that song, I said, oh my goodness, John Lennon has not lost a beat. This is a great, great song. And then, of course, after his death, the other ones made the top 40 radio, if you like. Sitting here watching the wheels go round and round, the other stuff. It was, nobody told me there'd be days like these. There are some other lyrics that people had made up. How can I possibly have a new release? Yeah, I won't go there, but I just did. But anyway, John Lennon's death was absolutely shocking to the extreme. And getting away from the music and Elvis Presley and John Lennon and their deaths, the other big death, at least for me, and I'm not sure how widespread this was, but there's a reason why this death, even though I never met any of these people. Did you ever meet Elvis? Did you ever meet John Lennon? Because I didn't. Did you ever meet James Gandolfini? I never met the man. I wish I had, but I did not. But as happens, we were out at an Italian restaurant in Blaisdell. Gee, bet you can't guess which one that was. So we were already in the Italian mood, okay? And that restaurant, it just reeks Italiano, all right? Got home, turned on Fox News, and the first thing we saw was actor James Gandolfini dead. You could have knocked me over with a feather. Now, James Gandolfini, of course, played Tony Soprano in, I think, arguably the greatest TV series of all time, The Sopranos. And it was, to me, it was an absolute shock. It was really, it was mind-blowing, okay? Because, and again, you're sitting there thinking to yourself, wow, James Gandolfini died. But part of your brain is saying, God, Tony Soprano died. Well, actually, he died in Halston's. But that was tough, man. That, when you don't even know somebody and it affects you because you are such a fan of the TV show and you're such a fan of the way he portrayed this psychopath and you're such a fan of the character and his skill at acting, that was tough. And then, mentioned this to Joe Beamer earlier today, you go back to the episode where Chris, they're doing the intervention for Christopher, and Christopher, played by Michael Imperioli, shouts out, look at the way you eat. You eat beef by the carload. You're probably going to have a heart attack at 50. Well, actually, it was 51. And then, do you remember the first time you saw the last pictures of Tony Soprano? I'm sorry, James Gandolfini, when he was on vacation in Rome with his son, who would later go on to play his dad's character in Many Saints of Newark? I could not believe how enormous James Gandolfini had become compared to the last time we had seen him on TV at Halston's with the members only guy giving him the sideways glance, giving him the eye, the evil eye, okay? He was huge. Like, he was beyond huge. And then reading what he had eaten prior to his death, all of the alcohol, all of the food, the guy was absolutely, I don't say this in a pejorative way, he was gluttonous and kind of like, you kind of wonder if maybe he self-sabotaged his life in some way because he had to know, look, James Gandolfini, if you look at the Tony Soprano character, all the seasons of The Sopranos, you see a big increase in the size of the character Tony Soprano played by James Gandolfini, all right? You also notice a distinct vocal change from the first season on, but I won't go to there right now. But he just got enormous, like size-wise, after The Sopranos. And I feel so bad that he didn't have a chance to say goodbye to his son, didn't have a chance. It was just boom, and he was gone. They tried to resuscitate him. They couldn't do it. He was just gone. And those three deaths, I would say, of pop culture figures, to me, were absolute. They were stomach punches. Elvis Presley, John Lennon, and James Gandolfini. And today, Ozzy Osbourne, for some of you, that is a stomach punch. It's a nut punch, if you prefer. That's from Dumb and Dumber 2, I believe. Jim Carrey. Which celebrity death to you was like, holy cow, I can't believe this has happened. Like, it actually affected you. Those three affected me. And come to think of it, you know what else did? Jim Croce, 1973. I was really into Jim Croce as a kid. 9, 10 years old. I loved Jim Croce. When one of my childhood friends called me and said Jim Croce died in a plane crash, I didn't believe him. Then I saw the news story. I was hurt. I was devastated. Not to mention Tim Horton. How many of you were big Sabres fans when Tim Horton died? And the Sabres had a game that night at the Aude against the Atlanta Flames. They were down 4-2, rallied for a 4-4 tie in the third period. Some things you just never forget. I was there. Many years later, I was there when the Sabres played a game right after Rick Martin died earlier that afternoon. And there are just people who make impacts on you that might not even know who you are, but when they die, in a weird way, part of you is in mourning. Like Ozzy Osbourne, dead today at 76. Is there a celebrity death, or maybe a couple of deaths, that made a big impact on you? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. I've shared mine. You can show me yours. Well, I was getting ready for the show today, and it was about 20 minutes after 2. I found out that Ozzy Osbourne had died at the age of 76, and I have such respect for Ozzy Osbourne as an entertainer. I mean, look, Black Sabbath, heavy metal, it's not my jam, but I respect what Ozzy Osbourne did. Crazy Train's a great song. It's not really heavy metal necessarily. It's just more of a pop tune with a kind of heavy edge to it, but not the heaviest you've ever heard. Love that song. And of course, the Osbournes. And I love the Osbournes because my mom watched that show. And the reason she loved it was, I mean, she'd heard obviously about Black Sabbath, but probably was not terribly familiar with Ozzy Osbourne as the frontman for Black Sabbath. But what she loved about it was, here's this guy who's the Prince of Darkness. You know, he's got to be evil. The band is Black Sabbath. But the duality of Ozzy Osbourne being the Prince of Darkness, but also being a really awesome dad who shared and made great memories with his kids, that duality won over my mother. I mean, you wouldn't think my mother, I don't think she would have liked his music. Maybe Crazy Train, because she was kind of cool. But I mean, she certainly wasn't going to be dancing naked to Black Sabbath. Not at the age of 90, thank God. But anyway, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. How can you talk about your mother that way? Very easily. I knew her, you didn't, so be quiet. Here is Deborah in Sloan on WBEN. Hello, Deborah.
Hi, how are you?
Well, I'm a little sad about Ozzy Osbourne, but on the other hand, it gives us a chance to remember some other people who have left us as well.
I was absolutely devastated when Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter, died.
Really?
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that name to come up. Was it the suddenness and the unexpectedness of it that got you? Or can you put your finger on why that one got you?
Well, I liked him, and I was just shocked. He was doing a shoot, and, you know, the stingray got him in the heart.
Yeah.
And so unexpected, and what a way to go.
Well, yeah, you know, that footage actually exists, but nobody is ever going to see it. That has not made its way to the internet and never will make its way to the internet. Of course,
no,
even if it did, YouTube would blur it. But, I don't really want to see the footage, but, at least Steve Irwin, let's put it this way. If you believe that there's some tranquility and some redemption in dying while you're doing what you love to do, he died that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Diana was another one.
Oh, how could we forget Princess Diana? Absolutely. Wrecked Labor Day for her.
Yes, that was a shock.
Actually, Steve Irwin died on my birthday in 2006, September the 4th of 2006. I'm suggesting no connection. But Princess Diana, that was one that was felt around the world. Absolutely. Yes. You know what? A lot of people were very sad with the death of Princess Diana and, of course, her fiancé. But I remember John Otto, who was a longtime Buffalo radio talk show host, he came on the Tuesday after the death and was basically, I don't want to say he was mocking, but he could not understand people who didn't even know Diana, upset that this woman had died in a car crash. And I think he said, like, well, why wasn't she home with her kids? Why was she off gallivanting around the world? I heard those thoughts from other people, too, I might add.
Really? Yeah. Well, yeah. She had a life, too. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I know. Look, I get it. I mean, we don't know what it's like to be royalty. And in the words of Tom Petty, you don't know how it feels. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call.
You're welcome. Bye now.
All right. Steve Irwin and Princess Diana. If you're just joining us, Ozzy Osbourne has died, 76 years old. And it got me to thinking about these celebrity deaths that made you say, holy crap. And I'd kind of forgotten about Princess Diana. Yeah. Steve Irwin. Yeah. And again, though, if somebody dies and they're doing what they always wanted to do, don't you kind of think that's maybe how they would like to have gone out? I mean, you never know. And I mentioned Tom Petty a few minutes ago. I will never forget the show with David Bellavia that we were doing when Tom Petty died. Tim Wenger will never forget that either. That was a cluster, I might add. 803-0930, the celebrity death that threw you for a loop. I've named my top three. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney. Time is 428. Crazy Train is draped in black. Ozzy Osbourne, 76. Rock and roll heavy metal pioneer, member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, died today at 76. And for many of you, that is a gut punch or a nut punch, if you prefer. And Ozzy Osbourne, just an amazing career and really an amazing performer who was able to take his heavy metal Prince of Darkness persona and then morph, as a great example of duality, morph that into a family guy hanging out and doing road trips with his family. And the shows were absolutely sensational. Ozzy Osbourne had a unique, effortless charm. And if you could understand him, great. And if you couldn't, closed captioning is a help. But sometimes just the mumblings of Ozzy Osbourne were kind of, they were kind of good. Ozzy Osbourne, of course, also appeared with his wife. I think his kids might have been there, but I'm not sure, in Austin Powers, one of the Austin Powers movies, which was awesome. And when you think about celebrity deaths, now Ozzy was 76, okay? And frankly, how many of you who've been Ozzy fans for a long time never would have thought he would have made 76? Like Keith Richards. The cockroaches and Keith Richards, the only things that will be alive after Armageddon. You're aware of that. That's been said many a time. Then there's pilot humor as well. I want to die like my grandfather did in his sleep. Not like the 150 screaming passengers in his airplane. It's a morbid joke. It's pilot humor. And to be a pilot, you got to have a sense of humor. All right. And you also have to think on your feet and you have to not panic ever. 803-0930, the celebrity death that hit you and hit you very hard. And I didn't mention this because to me, he wasn't a celebrity. He was a coworker, Mike Rosman, and his partner, Herm Kuhn, traffic reporter at the old radio station, died in a helicopter crash. It was a horrible night, but I knew Mike. I saw Mike that day. I talked with Mike that day. And I never thought of him as a celebrity, although to you, he was kind of a celebrity because he was on the radio. And that was very sad. That was personal. And if Missy's daughter, as I said earlier, if she wants to call in and talk about Ozzy, that's great. If it would be cathartic for her and helpful for her, but if it would only add to her suffering, I don't want that. Okay. That's not who I am. Okay. That's not cool. Here's Doug in Depew. At least we have alliteration. Doug, the celebrity death that really resonated with you.
Well, I got a couple of nut punches. First one, Stevie Ray Vaughan was a big one to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Another aviation thing.
Yeah, I was, really just starting to get into my life as a guitar player and really realizing what Stevie Ray Vaughan was and what he meant to guitar playing, and then just waking up one morning and my brother telling me, I'm like, holy smokes, I couldn't even believe it. And Eddie Van Halen was one for me too.
Really?
Eddie Van Halen definitely was a huge, huge, huge influence with me. And to hear he passed away, I knew he was sick, but, you know, it was kind of quiet. I didn't know how, you know, sick he was, but then all of a sudden there he was, he passed away. I was like, oh no, it was bad.
Well, but I would say that at least with Eddie Van Halen, there were inklings and there were whispers and there were indications that he was not long for this world. Stevie Ray Vaughan, aviation situation, that was sudden. That was just like, that was in an instant, and you wake up in the morning and 1 minute he's playing on stage and the next minute he's no longer with us.
I know. Yeah, and it's funny because my brother had initially said, oh, Doug, did you hear Steve Vai had passed away? And I was like, what? And he's like, oh, no, no, not Steve Vai, Stevie Ray Vaughan. I was like, you just made it worse.
Oh, good grief. No, Stevie Ray Vaughan was enormously, enormously talented, and he influenced just a whole generation of guitar players, as did Eddie Van Halen before Stevie Ray Vaughan made it big in what, a seven-year career that he was really big, Stevie Ray, before he really caught on.
Yeah,
Was there anybody else's death from the celebrity land? I mean, this is also helpful to me too because it tells me what you guys are interested in as an audience. So maybe there's a method to my madness. Was there any other celebrity deaths that just threw you?
Yeah, one of them might not be so popular, and I'm going to stick with the music thing. Was the guitar player Dimebag Darrell from Pantera who was murdered on stage during the show? That was a big one too. And like, you know, it's a terrible comparison, John Lennon, you know, being murdered by somebody, you know, is just, and let alone in the middle of a show, is just something that, you know, I hope never happens again. But, you know, that was a pretty big one, you know. But,
forgive my interruption, my raucous tone, but do you have any idea how often the murder of Dimebag Darrell has come up on this show over the years, well past 2004 when it actually happened? Here's a hint. You're not the first person to mention that. And clearly he had an impact on members of our audience, particularly in the music community, that is actually probably greater in his death than it would have been had he survived.
Yeah, maybe. You know, the thing about him was not only was he just a fantastic guitar player, really unique, but, you know, he was a persona in his own, too. You know, everybody knew, you know, they released a lot of home videos and it was just madness all the time. And he just seemed like this, you know, guy down the street who made it big and just never changed and was just this fantastic guitar player. And it just felt like you can relate to the guy. And then all of a sudden he was gone, you know, it was like, oof.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, locally, it just dawned on me too. One of the shocks, and I would say this definitely qualified as a nut punch, was when Corey Wells died of Three Dog Night, because we didn't know he was sick. I didn't know he was sick. I don't think anybody knew he was sick except his family. But when he died, a friend of mine told me who was very close to the situation. And, I mean, gee, I broke the story of somebody dying. I'm so proud of myself. But we did it with grace and with class. But Corey Wells dying, that was big, and that was definitely unexpected. And the day he died, one of his nieces, Jessica, called into the show, and it was a great tribute. It was a great Buffalo tribute for Corey Wells. But I appreciate your call, sir. Thank you very much.
Yep, no problem.
Today, if you wonder what we're doing here, Ozzy Osbourne, a guy I thought was going to outlive every one of us, died at 76. And you know what? I think the world is a little poorer right now for the death of Ozzy Osbourne. And I'm going to tell you why. Forget about music. The man showed a lot of people what a father does. Who ever would have thought Ozzy Osbourne would be such an awesome father? And yet, he's kind of a role model in a lot of ways. Not every way, but a lot of ways. Here's Mike in Grand Island on WBEN. I wish I had had that kind of a relationship with my kids. Come on. You're on WBEN. Hello.
Hey, Tom. Two of my favorite musical artists, John Denver and MJ.
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson.
Okay, let's start with John Denver. John Denver, one of the greatest songwriters in the history of popular music. Leaving on a Jet Plane. He was the guy behind that one. And, of course, everybody knows Rocky Mountain High, Take Me Home, Country Roads, Thank God I'm a Country Boy. Could I go on and on? But John Denver died in a tragic plane crash off the California coast. Supposedly, the plane was configured in such a way as to switch fuel tanks. He had to lean back and basically it put him into the drink. I'm not sure that I believe that, but that's what we were told. And, of course, Michael Jackson, basically abuse of drugs. That was iatrogenic. That was caused by a doctor.
Yeah, it's a shame. It really is. He's one of the geniuses of music, you know? What a shame.
How about, just out of curiosity, I don't know why this name is screaming at me, but Kurt Cobain. Kurt Cobain did not surprise me because shortly before he actually self-deleted, he was rushed to a hospital. I think it was in the UK with an overdose. And I kind of thought that maybe he was a troubled soul, and apparently he was. Although to this day you have people saying he didn't kill himself, he was murdered.
The theories out there are incredible, aren't they?
Well, you know what? Conspiracy theories are great, especially when they have evidence, and I've never seen any compelling evidence in the Kurt Cobain situation. I'm more than happy to champion conspiracy theories, but there has to be some basis in fact or believability for it.
Right.
All right, my man. Michael Jackson and John Denver, kind of different ends of the political spectrum. The musical spectrum, I'm sorry. And then, I mean, sometimes there are ones that you expect. As I mentioned earlier, Freddie Mercury. It was sad, but it wasn't unexpected, okay? And you know, he had to deal with being outed. I mean, it's horrible that, you know, the whole Freddie Mercury thing, clearly it was a private matter to him. Clearly, this was a time when homosexuality was regarded not as it is today. And to think that his last hours of consciousness may have been occupied with, oh my goodness, now the world knows I'm dying of AIDS and I'm gay, that's horrible, because it wouldn't have been like that today. In fact, today, as I understand it, HIV/AIDS is considered to be a chronically managed condition like diabetes. And think about all of the great people who died of AIDS back in the 80s. And remember that movie, The Boys in the Band? It was a taboo subject for a long time, and it was ignored by a lot of people for a long time. And part of that, I think, was because it was largely a disease of gay men. And some people said, this is God's judgment on gay men. Well, how about the gay women? That was the comeback to that. It is 4:49 at News Radio 930 WBEN. That's one of the things I do like about MAGA is, people in MAGA really don't care what orientation you happen to be. It's utterly immaterial. Question is, do you love America and are you willing to do what it takes to make America a better place for all of us in the long term? And not so much emphasis on your personal life and what you're into between consenting adults. I'm just saying. Let's get back to the calls. Ozzy Osbourne has died. And I will tell you that when I got the news at about 20 minutes after 2, I'm just sitting there doing my show prep for different topics. And this story comes down and I'm thinking to myself, oh my goodness, he was never supposed to die. He was supposed to outlive every one of us by a century or more, but alas, he was mortal. And I'm not going to lie, even though his music wasn't my jam, there was more to Ozzy than music. He was a multi-platform entertainer. My mother died at 90 last year, and she loved Ozzy Osbourne because he was a great dad. Here's Kim in Amherst, the celebrity death that was a nut punch to you. Here's Kim on WBEN. Hello.
Hello. So when a couple other callers mentioned Princess Diana, that was one of mine. The other one that I thought of right away was Whitney Houston.
Oh, yeah.
The one that absolutely gutted me was Robin Williams.
You're the first person to mention some of these people, especially Robin Williams. Can you tell us why that one gutted you? Because, you know, we all have the death that really guts us, or maybe two or three deaths that really gut us. I mean, to me, it was James Gandolfini and John Lennon, I think. Yeah, definitely James Gandolfini and John Lennon. But Robin Williams was just so tragically sad. What got to you about that?
because he was like, he took his life because of depression, and he was the one that helped everybody laugh. He had this, like, you know, all the roles he ever played and his personality, and he started out as a comedian, I believe, right? And then broke into acting or whatever. He was funny. How could he struggle with depression? I mean, I get it. It's not just being, it's more than being sad, but.
Well, Robin Williams, my understanding of Robin Williams, my dear, is he struggled with depression, which was kind of caused by the onset of severe cognitive decline. And Robin Williams was a guy with an amazingly fast and facile mind. And I don't think he could really quite understand what was going on inside his head. And if he did, he didn't like it. And he knew that there was no way out. And that, I think, amplified his depression. We'll never know. But yes, the paradox of such a brilliant and funny man who made so many of us laugh with his quickness and his speed and his alacrity with a line, exiting this planet on his own was just, that was brutal. Yeah, truly.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Just wrecked me. I couldn't believe it. It took me a long time to really even come to grips with, like, oh my gosh, he's really gone. Yeah,
that's, and then we, you know, that, of course, that's a, you know, that I hate to say it, because that is a good one, but again, a multi-platform entertainer, comedian, TV, a tremendous actor. The guy was built to be an entertainer.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of my favorite movies that we still go back and watch: Mrs. Doubtfire and, you know, Jack, and all those funny things he did. Loved him.
Robin Williams was a singular talent, and we will never see another Robin Williams ever.
Absolutely. You're right.
Anything else from you? Was there anybody else that left a mark on you? I mean, Ozzy Osbourne died today, which I'm having a hard time processing that. It's not, he should have outlived all of us, right? Anybody else for you?
I guess. No, just Whitney Houston was hard too, but you know, I don't follow all the Hollywood things much, but like, I know she struggled with drugs and all of that. So, but it was still a shock. She was one of my favorites in the '80s. Her music was my thing.
No, she certainly did. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Yeah. And, you know, if you go back and you think about the comedians who have left us too soon, I mean, Lenny Bruce, that was a drug situation. Mitch Hedberg, a drug situation. How many others? John Belushi, a drug situation. Chris Farley, were drugs involved in that, or was it obesity? And I kind of wonder if in some way, and I mentioned this regarding James Gandolfini earlier, that in some sense there is some self-sabotage of health going on with these people. Like, maybe they think they just can't live up to the hype or the reputation, and they wouldn't intentionally kill themselves, but they act in ways that tend to cumulatively shorten their lifespans. Just it's just a thought. It is 4:56 at News Radio 930 WBEN. By the way, speaking of short lifespans, and I know it's not popular to be a cop right now, but did you know that the Buffalo Police Department, retired Buffalo police officers, you understand that serving on the Buffalo Police Buffalo Police Department on average takes 20 years off a man's life, that the average age of death for a retired Buffalo copper is 67, 68 years of age? That's got to be addressed, because that is not right. It absolutely is not right. And unfortunately, in police work, it's hours of boredom, minutes of sheer terror and adrenaline. Over 20 years, 25 years, that can add up. But that's a true statistic. It's really a shame. And I hope that somebody addresses that and takes whatever steps they need to take to mitigate that. It's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN 457. Welcome. It is Bowerly at News Radio 930 WBEN. Good to be with you, and a beautiful day in Western New York. Hope you are enjoying it. And we're talking about, today, about 2:20, the news came down that Ozzy Osbourne had died. 76, rock and roll legend, heavy metal dude, the man who once bit the head off a bat thinking it was a toy, but it was a real bat, so he had to get the rabies shots. Hey, Ozzy and I have something in common. Well, I didn't bite the head off the bat. It simply landed on my wrist. And, of course, the Osbournes. And, again, I think the charm of Ozzy was the fact that here you have the Prince of Darkness, who turns out to be an amazing dad, and his kids are absolutely in love with him, and he's like Father of the Year. Didn't see that one coming, but I also didn't see Ozzy Osbourne dying. I mean, I remember hearing that he was sick, but I just thought Ozzy was going to do a Keith Richard and just outlive everybody on the planet personally. But talking about the deaths that have been gut punches for you, And we've had a number of different people, obviously a number of different people calling in. And we had a call from Missy in Clarence, whose daughter actually was in the T-shirt business with one of Ozzy Osbourne's daughters. And Missy's daughter is inconsolable at the death of Ozzy Osbourne because she became close to the family and actually appeared in some of the Osbourne's TV shows. So as much as I'd like to talk to her today, that's her call. She wants to call in. That's awesome. If it would help her, but if it would hurt her or cause her pain or distress, no. I'll pass on that. 803-0930. The celebrity deaths that have really, and it's really weird, the whole celebrity death thing, because they don't know who you are. We know who they are, but you don't know they don't know who you are. Nonetheless, when they die, it's almost like part of us has died with them, even though they didn't know us. And I would put John Lennon and James Gandolfini at number one and number 1B, not necessarily in that order. They were shocking to me, although Gandolfini really shouldn't have been shocking, given what he looked like at the end. And Elvis Presley was huge. I can't believe I'm the only person who remembers Elvis. And that was absolutely That was major. I mean, there's been others along the way. Tom Petty, I mean, honestly, Tom Petty's was the funniest death I've ever had to cover. And the only reason I can say that is I'm pretty sure that Tom Petty, knowing a little bit of his personality, the way he went out, he's dead. No, he's alive. No, he's dead. No, he's alive. No, he's dead. No, he's dead. He would have appreciated that, okay? I'm just saying he would have found that to be funny. That's how I justify that by saying it is kind of the funniest celebrity death I've reported on. I love Tom Petty. I love Tom Petty's work solo with the Wilburys. And he basically was, I mean, the guy's a legend, an absolute legend. And the way he left this planet, okay, are you dead or aren't you dead, Tom? What is it? And he too, just like Ozzy gave it a few weeks between retiring from the stage and his death, Tom Petty played some gigs at the Hollywood Bowl days before he died from the drugs. And the reason he was on the drugs was because he was in ridiculous amounts of pain from hip injuries and other injuries along the way. And it was accidental. And I feel bad for Tom Petty. I mean, he wasn't doing the drugs to get high. He was doing the drugs to get some pain relief, as I understand it. And that's sad. And John Belushi was sad. That was meaningless. Not meaningless. It was pointless and stupid. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Here is Mike in North Tonawanda. Mike, the celebrity death, or maybe deaths, which sent you reeling. Did Ozzy today send you reeling a little bit? Because it did me.
A little bit. My girlfriend's big into Ozzy, so I haven't seen her yet today. I will shortly. Glenn Campbell wasn't such a shock, but it was a big loss to me. He was one of the world's greatest guitar players. In fact, somebody brought up Eddie Van Halen a little while ago. Eddie Van Halen asked Alice Cooper if he could get some lessons from Glenn Campbell.
Glenn Campbell, you are absolutely correct. An absolutely amazing guitar player. He was a session musician with a bunch of people, including the Beach Boys, kind of a part of the Wrecking Crew, so-called. And he was a Beach Boy for a while. Yeah. And, of course, he wrote some amazing songs. And, by the way, I have to ask you, were you at the UB Center for the Performing Arts for Glenn Campbell's final show in Western New York?
No, I wish I could have been there, because they say that what he did during his time with Alzheimer's was unprecedented.
Glenn Campbell put on a performance with his daughter helping him along, put on a performance for the ages. And what was fascinating is at one point he started playing the same song twice in a row. His daughter quickly brought him around. But as far as his lyrics and as far as his guitar chops, he wasn't missing a beat. He was utterly amazing.
Nope.
But I mean, it was a great example of Alzheimer's and how somebody can be in cognitive decline, and yet, I don't know whether it's muscle memory or whatever, he didn't miss a beat singing, didn't miss a beat playing the guitar. It was really kind of weird.
Yeah, it was an amazing story, his life story. The other one that was a real shock was a local one, was Teddy Reinhardt.
Oh, the plane crash, absolutely. Local drummer, Tonawanda guy, yeah.
Yeah, well, he was, I used to see him every Friday night at the Mohawk place.
Well, we the day Teddy Reinhardt died, we actually dedicated the entire show to him and took calls from people who knew him. He was a local Western New York music legend, and I unfortunately he just did not have to die that way. And the whole thing was a pilot situation. I'm not happy about, but anyway,
right.
Thank you very much, man.
Those are the two that came to mind for me.
Yeah. Well, again, a local one, and I mentioned Corey Wells earlier, a local one, even though he was a national music figure, and Mike Rosman, our traffic reporter. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. The celebrity deaths, which you kind of feel like you have a part of yourself missing. Today, Ozzy Osbourne died at 76, and it's a sense of loss for many people. Even if you couldn't stand his music, how could you not like him from the TV show? And vice versa. Here's Mark on a cell phone on WBEN. Hello.
How you doing?
I'm hanging in there, man.
Quick ones. I got three quick ones for you, sir. The local one is when Rick Martin died and the French Connection was broken up forever. That hurt me.
Yes, that was horrible. And the Sabres did have a game that night. It was an evening game, and they obviously paid proper recognition to Rick Martin. And what's really weird about that is when Rick Martin died and the Sabres paid homage to Rick Martin, I think it was that night, it reminded me of the day Tim Horton died, because before Tim Horton was a donut, he was a person. And he was a very famous and very strong
hockey player.
He was an excellent hockey player and Jim Schoenfeld's mentor at defense for the Buffalo Sabres. And unfortunately, when he died, it was a gloom over Western New York. The Sabres were the hottest thing in town because the Bills weren't very good at that point. And Tim Horton was a living legend. And I'll never forget coming home from school for lunch that day when my mother told me the news. I was absolutely crestfallen. And then, as I'd mentioned earlier, the Sabres had a game that night against the Atlanta Flames, and they were trailing 4-2 in the third period, and they came back to tie it up at 4, but they couldn't win despite the sign on the auditorium railing that said, "Let's win for Tim."
I got two more for you. The first one was my first sports hero. I was 10 years old in 1976, and I was just absolutely heartbroken when Mark Friedrich died. He was killed working on his truck when he was 54.
Yeah. The Bird.
The Bird. I just absolutely heartbroken. And the next one was when Joey Ramone died. They are my favorite all-time band. And when Joey Ramone died, it just meant I was not young anymore at all. So.
Oh. Okay, you worked in Mark Friedrich, and the Bird, the pitcher, he was a character, and if people don't know of whom we speak, go to YouTube and watch videos of him, and you're right, the guy died when he was working on a vehicle, and I think, didn't the vehicle end up like slipping off a jack and basically crushing him or asphyxiating him?
The jack broke, and the truck fell on him, and he died. He was only about 54, I think he was. Not old at all, and it just broke my heart. Joey Ramone was another one. All the Ramones died, I think, before they were 51, but that one, for whatever reason, that one really hurt me.
Well, perhaps they didn't want to be sedated.
Well, they probably did not. I got to believe it was their touring and their lifestyle that contributed to that. So.
Yeah, the Ramones are absolutely legendary. They're seminal in a certain area of music, and it really, again, you know what? The way you feel now is how a lot of people are going to feel when Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr are no longer with us, like the end of an era, the complete ending of an era.
Yep, the whole band is gone. So, Tom, it was a great show today. This is really... It's a sad subject, but it's really cool to listen to. So,
well, thank you very much. I appreciate that very much. I'll tell you another one that hit home. George Michael. Remember, you heard about it on Christmas, George Michael, and maybe you heard about it right after somebody played Last Christmas. Yeah, that was tough. And Faith, gotta have faith. Didn't see that one coming at all. George Michael, formerly of, you know, that other band. Yeah, Mark Fidrich. If you've never seen video of that Detroit Tigers pitcher, you got to check it out. The man was a legend in the mid-70s, and he had, what, a 19-9 rookie season, something like that. And somebody apparently told him to change his pitching motion, and he made the mistake of not going with his own gut, which had got him to where he was, and he listened to somebody else, and he ended up with a bad shoulder injury, and the guy was never the same. Had a five-year career. Mark Fidrich. What an outgoing and unique ball player he was. And, you know, this is just really endlessly fascinating to me. The celebrities whose deaths made an impact on you. And Princess Diana has come up, Steve Irwin, John Denver, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Eddie Van Halen. All of these have come up. And interestingly, and I've tried to make it about entertainment and not politics, because obviously everybody who is still alive and conscious, sentient, which does not include Joe Biden. That includes you, maybe. You remember where you were when John F. Kennedy was assassinated back in 1983 when I started this. That was actually a topic. Where were you when JFK was assassinated? And people would call in and say, I was in high school. I was in elementary school. Now it's like, well, I was in my coffin at yeah, and it, because we all get older, of course. So that isn't really the topic anymore on November 22nd of any year. But the deaths of celebrities can really impact you because, look, these people are part of the soundtrack and the screenplay of our lives. And when John Lennon was murdered in 1980, it wasn't just about John Lennon being murdered. It was a part of you that also was killed in New York City, because John Lennon's music was a part of the soundtrack of your particular life. Same thing with Stevie Ray Vaughan. Same thing with Ozzy Osbourne. And Ozzy Osbourne, who died today at 76, that's why we're doing this show about which celebrity deaths have been gut punches for you. Ozzy Osbourne, he was really a pioneer and a trendsetter with Black Sabbath. And you could make the argument that pretty much every heavy metal act had inspiration from Black Sabbath and a few others. But Ozzy was just a unique personality. He had a charm. Usually you have to be erudite and have great diction to have charm. Ozzy managed to mumble his way into having great charm. He mumbled his way into my mother's heart. She loved the Osbournes. And I think the thing about Ozzy that is remarkable is, whoever would have thought, hearing that he bit the head off a bat, that Ozzy Osbourne would be this awesome dad. And to me, that is the legacy of Ozzy Osbourne as much as the music. He kind of was a role model for fathers. Hey, he might not have been Hugh Beaumont and Leave It to Beaver, but those shows were pretty awesome. And those memories, those kids are going to cherish those for years. Remembering Ozzy Osbourne. He died at 76 today. The news broke at about 20 minutes after 2 today. And it is certainly resonating with a lot of WBEN listeners in some way, shape, or form. And talking to you about these celebrity deaths, which really sent you reeling in the years. By the way, a couple of celebrity notes here. These guys are still alive. Jeff Daniels says he hopes that Trump voters lose money. Billy Joel basically says to the woke people, I don't care what you say anymore. This is my life. So, tale of two celebrities with two different points of view. And to think Jeff Daniels played Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain of the 20th Maine on top of Little Round Top on July 2nd, 1863. Horrors of horrors. By the way, Marty Binias, or if you prefer, Martin Binias, has posted an article which gives us more detail on the Ozzy Osbourne Buffalo connection. Because Ozzy Osbourne played Buffalo back in 1982 at the height of the bat controversy, and reporter George Gates, George Gates wrote a piece in the paper with about $122,000 in gross receipts at stake. Promoters of a sold-out Memorial Auditorium concert by British heavy metal rock hero Ozzy Osbourne are trying to convince an anxious city hall that nothing untoward is on the bill of fare. Real quickly, it was sold out at the Odd, and the gross receipts were $122,000 bucks. Ha! These days, that's like 10 good tickets, right? Anyway, Mayor Griffin, however, has a hard-line view. He told the Buffalo News, if we can cancel it, we'll cancel it. Reports of havoc follow Ozzy Osbourne's trail, but Ed Tice, vice president of Harvey and Corky Productions, the promoters, insisted it's all blown out of proportion. The Ozzy Osbourne show is booked into the city-owned Odd for Good Friday. Hey, one of my listeners sent me that earlier. A point which has the mayor upset. I don't want anything to do with it, said Mayor Griffin. He said the Odd management should have thought a little more. Having it on Good Friday was stupid to begin with. If I'd known about it at the time, they wouldn't be coming here. Wire Service News reports claimed Osbourne bit the head off of a bat during a Des Moines, Iowa concert on January 22nd and contracted rabies as a result. Mr. Tice, however, the promoter, said the performer only held the bat close to his face. He didn't bite the head off of a bat, Mr. Tice insisted. Another Wire Service story said Osbourne was arrested in San Antonio, Texas, February 23rd for public intoxication after he allegedly urinated on the Alamo. At the time, he was quoted as saying he likes to defile public shrines and has a major goal using the White House steps for a public restroom. As Osbourne's appearance Friday in Boston Gardens was threatened with cancellation at one point after rumors flew that the star planned to throw puppies into the audience and not perform until they were brought back dead. Mr. Tice, however, said the press is fouling up the rock star's image. He's really a sweetheart, Mr. Tice said. This is more about Ozzy Osbourne, who died today at 76. He must convince city officials. License director Frank something or other said he will either deny the Osbourne troupe an entertainment permit or issue it on the condition that as Osbourne representative, that an Osbourne representative sign an affidavit saying they aren't going to harm animals during the show. The license guy said he's going to want the affidavit to say anything obscene or immoral will not be involved. Mr. Tice said that his personal manager, Osbourne's personal manager, has given us her assurance no harm will come to any animals during Ozzy's performance. He said he will give similar assurances in seeking the permit. As for Good Friday, Mr. Tice said the religious holiday was the only date we could get. And I think Eddie Tice, doesn't he do music on Main Street now these days? I think he's the organizer, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway... that was the story from back. I knew it was something having to do with Griffin, the mayor, and Ozzy Osbourne, and that fleshes the story out thanks to Marty Biniasz. I'll do the Polish way, Marty, for posting the information on Facebook. I don't know how he finds this stuff so fast, because, and by the way, I said that the internet is not always correct. That Good Friday date, I could not find online at all. Not saying it's not there. I couldn't find it as I multitask doing the show. But the Ozzy Osbourne died today at 76 of rabies, which is really messed up. No, he died today at 76, not of rabies. And by the way, if he actually had contracted rabies, he would have died. It's got a 100% fatality rate. You have rabies shots when you are exposed to rabies. Sometimes the bat is a vector to prevent you from getting rabies because it is 100% fatal. And I had a bat land on my wrist back in 2010 or thereabouts, and county health commissioner said, son, you are going to get rabies shots. And right after that, I developed pseudotumor cerebri. Dave in, but it beats having rabies because I wouldn't be here and it would have been a horrible death. Dave in Cheektowaga on WBEN, the celebrity death, which was the biggest gut punch or nut punch to you?
Oh, yeah. It was, that last caller made me laugh when Ozzy urinated.
Well, yes, get away from that, please. Thank you.
I said it right.
Understood.
I didn't know it was, John Bonham. I was going to see Led Zeppelin. We were doing shots. We were getting Led Zeppelin tickets, and we're going to the Odd and see Led Zeppelin. And then John Bonham passed away, and then that was it for the band. They broke up. 1980.
Do you know? I still remember. I was a student at Kenmore East at that point, and there were a whole bunch of kids who were going to see Led Zeppelin. And they were completely distressed that they wouldn't see, that John Bonham had died, and B, that they would not be able to see Led Zeppelin performing live. And wasn't that the second Buffalo show that Zeppelin canceled?
I don't know. I know they were, they came here in 1973 or something like that. I don't know. I can't remember. But that one was right around 1980, and then... they were supposed to come here and we were doing shots and I was like, yeah, let's get our tickets, you know. I'm 66, so I was a little young then, so, you know.
Well, we're all aging just a little bit every single day, sir. But yeah,
well,
that was
quick.
That, but no, I didn't mean to hurry it up. I'm just saying that it's just you either age or you don't age, and I'd rather age. But the whole Zeppelin thing with Bonham, that was something that people who had to take us to see Led Zeppelin will never forget. And I think that was the second time, if I'm not mistaken, that Zeppelin had to cancel a show in Buffalo. And do you also remember around that same era when the Who did the sound check in Cincinnati and people died in the crushing of the crowd, and the next show, of course, was Buffalo, New York.
Yeah, the rushing crowd. Yeah, they got trampled. I remember hearing that.
And then the very next show was Buffalo.
Oh wow, was it? Wow.
Yeah, I knew kids who were going to that show, and there was some concern about that. But
jeez.
And that was the real Who. I think Keith Moon was still around at that point, and Entwistle and Daltrey and Townsend. Yeah.
Well, my favorite, that's my three favorite drummers is Keith Moon, John Bonham, and Neil Peart. They're my three drummers.
Yes, you better be bowing in reverence when you use the name Neil Peart, or I'm going to hear about it. I'm just saying.
A
lot of Rush fans.
One more was you might probably like as man and a man's lady was. Steve McQueen. When I heard Steve McQueen had cancer, and I was like, oh my, that guy. And what movie you were talking about that a few days ago? One of the movies he was. Oh no, that was Bullet. That was some other movie you were talking about. But remember, he was in Bullet.
I don't think I talked about Bullet or Steve McQueen, but Steve McQueen, I remember that he had cancer. I think he tried experimental treatments in Mexico, which did not work. And obviously, he was a big race car driver. And I think his son followed in his footsteps.
Yeah. I didn't really follow his son too much, but Steve McQueen, he was the man. I love Steve McQueen. When he was in that Army movie,
I know the one you're thinking of, and I can't think of the title. You beat me to the thought,
China,
man.
He was stationed in China.
I know you're killing me here because I was thinking of it, and I can't get the title. I can't get the title, man.
Planning on saying this, you know, thinking about this.
All right, thank you very much. I appreciate the call. And actually, here's a fun fact: the movie Bullet, the Steve McQueen character. Was supposedly based on a real-life San Francisco police detective named Dave Toski, who figured very prominently in the investigations into the Zodiac Killer in the 1960s. And even the holster used by McQueen in that movie was the holster that Toski had used for many years. And Dave Toski is no longer around either and never solved the Zodiac, although I'm pretty sure he thought it was Arthur Lee Allen, but we'll never know. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. See, this is what I do late at night. I learn facts that sometimes I tie into the show to bore you endlessly. Here's Brian on WBEN. Hello.
How you doing, Tom?
Quite well, thank you. The celebrity death, which just, today Ozzy Osbourne died, 76 years of age. News came down about 2:20. And which celebrity deaths have really made an impact on you, even though you didn't know these people, but they impacted you?
When you I was listening to your show and you brought up the concert that they had in Buffalo with Black Sabbath. Was that the Black and Blue concert, they called it?
I don't know which one it was. Ozzy Osbourne /Black Sabbath. I'm sorry, let me just finish my thought. I don't know which one it was. Ozzy Osbourne and Black Sabbath appeared in Buffalo on many occasions. Not all of them are even listed on the internet.
Okay, because I remember the Black and Blue concert with Blue Oyster called Black Sabbath. It was supposed to be the most wattage ever used in the old odd. But the one that bothered me the most, the best concert I've ever been to, was at, I'm not sure if it was called Rush Stadium, but I was on the 20-yard line. The opening band, you might not remember, Stars.
Nope.
Then Ted Nugent.
Oh.
Leonard Skinner and Blue Oyster Cult.
Oh. But as far as death, how long before the plane
was 2 or 3 months after?
Yeah. And here's an interesting fact. As you know, Jim Croce died in a plane crash in Louisiana in 1973 because his pilot apparently had a heart attack. But Jim Croce played a Western New York gig about a week, maybe a week and a half before he died. True fact.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, he did. Actually, one of my brother's bands was the opening act. And I asked my brother to get his autograph, and he said that would not be cool. And there I was without his autograph. But
if I'm not mistaken, I remember having the Street Survivor, I think it was called, album with the flames behind it, and they recalled it after the plane crash. I don't know how true that was.
I don't know if they recalled it.
It was a few months after they played at Rich State. Well, I don't even recall what it was called, Rich Stadium.
Yeah, okay, so the Skynyrd, for our purposes today, the Skynyrd deaths were big. Ronnie Van Zant and the other people who died in that crash. What's amazing to me about the Skynyrd crash was the number of survivors, including Artemis Pyle and obviously others, who survived that because they really went through hell. I mean, poor Artemis Pyle trudges through the woods to go to a farmhouse, and he gets shot by the farmer. So in one night, you get a plane crash, and then he gets shot because the farmer thought it was some Manson guy out to get him. So thank you very much. I appreciate the call. And do you remember, like, when your favorite celebrities die, do you not remember the anchor who told you about it? Because every time the Skynyrd plane crash pops up on the internet, I always just think of Irv Weinstein on Channel 7 that night telling us about the plane crash. I think it was that night, if I'm not mistaken. I remember the delivery if I don't remember the time. And Jim Croce, immediately before his death, on September 5th of 1973, played the Century Theater in Buffalo, September 5th of 1973, believe it or not. And here's something I did not know. On that tour, which was Jim Croce's final tour, he toured with, he was on the bill with Steely Dan on a few occasions. Wow, that's going back. Holy cow. That's before Donald Fagen became super cool, just so you know. Let's get back to the calls. The celebrity death, which really was a gut punch to you. And, you know, thinking back on life, the biggest ones for me, for what it's worth, John Lennon, that was big. James Gandolfini was huge. Both of those were big, unexpected. Elvis was big. And before then, Tim Horton was big. The Buffalo Sabre, that was big. And then I read the autopsy report years later, and I thought, ooh, that wasn't a good idea, Tim. Let's get back to the calls on WBEN, because a lot of people think Tim Horton was a donut. He was not a donut. He was a person who started a donut franchise. Mark on WBEN, hello.
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Well, we're remembering Ozzy Osbourne and talking to you about the... Yes.
Yeah, and I love when you do music stuff. It's awesome.
Well, this isn't music. This is just entertainers in general.
Well, yeah, but just when your knowledge of music is very vast. Getting it under the wire here, but mine was Stevie Ray Vaughan. My cousin and I, we get tickets to see Robert Plant in the old Maple Leaf Garden in Toronto, and we're late getting to the concert, and Stevie Ray Vaughan opened for him, and we sat down, and it was like last two songs of Stevie Ray set, and we were, you know, oh man, we missed it, this and that, and like 2 weeks later, he got killed in the helicopter crash. Freaked us out, man, but we got to hear at least two songs of his set, and that was pretty amazing, and yes, James Gandolfini, Tony S. Have a good day, Tom.
Yeah, you're the second person, by the way, to mention Stevie Ray Vaughan. And it is, it's something just to think about, all of the musical talent that has died in non-commercial plane crashes, chartered plane crashes. And, you know, if you go back and you read the investigation summaries, that plane in which Leonard Skynyrd died had been refused, I think, by Aerosmith way back when. And it was known to have some issues. The Jim Croce situation, the pilot had advanced cardiovascular disease. It apparently was not diagnosed, but he was running to get to the airplane and basically exerted himself to the point where he had a heart attack on takeoff. Nothing to do with the plane, everything to do with the pilot and health. And the Buddy Holly situation, pilot error, Stevie Ray Vaughan. I think that was pilot error instead, or I'm sorry, pilot error as well. I hope I'm not wrong on that one. But it's almost like Patsy Cline. Nobody mentioned Rocky Marciano, which kind of surprised me. A lot of fans here in Western New York. But anyway, that was our little way of remembering Ozzy Osbourne. And Ozzy Osbourne, whoever would have thought when we were talking about the bat head incident that there'd be so much love in 2025 for Ozzy Osbourne in Buffalo as opposed to the early 1980s and the public peeing match with Mayor Griffin way back in the day. I know a lot of you didn't want to see Ozzy play, but some of you were definitely into it, as I recall the calls that came in that night. But thank you for the calls. Yep, Ozzy Osbourne dead at 76. And again, whoever would have thought the Prince of Darkness would turn out to be father of the decade, huh? Thanks to Tanner Saunders for pitching a perfect game and kind of being as eccentric as Mark Fidrich, whose name came up today. Hadn't heard that name in a while. But thanks to Tanner. Job well done. Coming up next, it's Buffalo's Evening News with Tom Puckett, including the latest on the death of Ozzy Osbourne. And God willing, I'll be here tomorrow between 3 and 6 following Joe Beamer, who follows David Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN. Enjoy the beautiful Tuesday.